Good morning. I'm a little more nervous this morning. I had some technology issues. Hopefully we can get this sorted out and it'll be good. But I think we'll be good. We're good? Okay. That praise and worship time was really good. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy our praise and worship teams here. I think they do a really fantastic job, and a couple of the songs really spoke to me this morning. Especially the song where it talks about from the inside out. From the inside out, about how we want to give God praise. And that's kind of a little bit of kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning, or what I'm going to be talking about, is prayer that way. Is kind of, we're talking about prayer, but in a sense of not necessarily, you know, always all of how to pray, but kind of in a sense of the right attitude to go into prayer is a lot of what we're going to be talking about. So, with that added pressure, let's pray before we get into it. Dear God, we thank you for being with us here this morning. Thank you for being with every single person here. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us. And thank you for this church. Help us to all get something out of today, that we can get to know you better, and we can praise you more, and serve you better. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're not going to get into the verses right away, but you can see them up front. Title is In Jesus' Name. So I have a question for you. And this is not really, I'm not asking for a raise of hands or anything, but how would you describe your prayer life? And I've been asking different people this for, I don't know, the last couple weeks when I was thinking about talking about this. And it was funny because especially a couple of people that I thought would have been like, you know, the prayer warriors, the ones that, you know, that I thought of as like being really like fantastic at praying, and I know they are, but like they would have not necessarily thought that their prayer life is like different people. Most everybody didn't really think of their prayer life as being like, I've got it together, right? And I think that's something that I think we lose sight of sometimes when we're thinking of praying ourselves, whether with people or by ourselves, is we often think, well, I'm not very good at it. Or, I can't do that, right? So, how would you describe it? 10 out of 10, absolutely perfect. Good most of the time. Inconsistent, safe, hard work, unstructured, aimless, or a total failure. Now, I'm hoping nobody thinks it's a total failure, although that could be a thing, right? You can go through times like that in prayer. But I'm also guessing that there's probably no one here that thinks, yeah, I'm a 10 out of 10, I have prayer completely figured out, and I'm totally fine with prayer, right? Most of the time, most people are going to land somewhere in these kind of, it's tough sometimes to pray as much as we want. It's tough to know what to say, how to say it, and it's difficult, right? In the book, What If I Don't Desire to Pray, he says, but praying is hard. It often feels like duty, not delight, like eating our vegetables. We know it's good for us. We feel guilty for not doing it, yet we shove the plate to the side. So it is with prayer. And some of the time, we know we want to pray. We want to pray more. We want to pray better. We like the idea of praying. But my wife gives me a hard time because I don't like to eat my vegetables, right? It's not fun. It's not as good as you know, the other stuff, right? And we can kind of push it to the side a little bit. Like, there's other really important things we can be doing and talking about, and maybe we'll just read the Bible, right? And we'll just not spend as much time in prayer, right? And I think almost all of us, at some time or another, we do struggle some in praying like we need to. We feel that struggle. But here's a key that I think goes along with some of this, is the struggle, though, is kind of good. And that might sound kind of funny because we want to get closer to God, we want to pray, but think about it. You don't struggle to do what you want to avoid. Like, I don't struggle with the idea of setting a bunch of money on fire. Just, I don't want to do that, right? It's not something I'm going to, like, I need to do this more, though. I don't struggle with the idea of taking a sledgehammer to my car. Like, these are dumb things that I'm not going to be doing, right? But, like, we want to pray. Like sometimes like something like exercising or eating healthy. We struggle with those things sometimes because we want to be healthy, right? So when you're feeling like, man, I'm struggling though with praying, think of that though, you are desiring to get closer to God. Think of it as an encouragement of like, now don't settle for less, but think of it as, that's a good thing that you can lay into and you can do a lot better, right? So we're gonna talk a little bit, how should we pray? Is it up there still? The projector in the back is off. It's not up. Okay. Well, we'll keep going. Hopefully we'll get the PowerPoint up. I don't know. Mine looks good. Okay, well, we'll keep going here. So first off, actually, maybe I should check one thing, because that would be a good thing to have. I said I was feeling nervous about the technology issues. Mine is showing good here. Maybe I'll unplug it and plug it back in. Anyway, so how should we pray then? I think the key question here is not how we should pray, but the better question is who, right? Who is the better question? So there's a quote, and oh, you're seeing my screen. Don't look at my notes. Don't look at my notes. I'm just kidding. There we go. Oh, I can fix this. Okay. Hey, it's working. Okay. Good. Hopefully you didn't see too many of my secrets. No, I'm just kidding. So this is a quote from a great little booklet. I think it's a fantastic little booklet about prayer. But it's like, so when I said about like how would I pray, who is a better question? We often assume that a response to a pitiful prayer life should be to redouble our efforts, institute a new prayer regimen, or reorganize our schedule. Certainly, we may need a fresh dose of resolve or a change of schedule, but those things can't sustain a life of prayer. Instead, perhaps our cold, prayerless hearts need to stop focusing on prayer so much and start focusing on the person and work of Christ, right? So there's a lot of things that can help, like, get you into prayer. Like the Bible app has a reminder you can set to every day remind you to pray. This is a really good thing we can do to remind us. But that in and of itself is not going to like, oh yeah, now I'm fixed. Now I can pray as much as I want to, right? Because I'm reminded about it. But like, if we focus on Jesus and what he's done for us, that does a lot more for us because it you know, focuses us a lot more on Jesus. So after we figure out like who, we need to look at what he's done for us. And another quote I have, and we'll get into the scripture here just shortly, is in just thinking about kind of, do we only pray for ourselves? Timothy Keller in his book on prayer says, we know God is there, but we tend to see him as a means to get things to make us happy. For most of us, he has not become our happiness. We therefore pray to procure things, not to know him better. All this changes when we grasp his astonishing, costly sacrifice for us. Now, longer ago, this is something I did that was kind of dumb. Did it disappear? Okay, everybody pray. longer ago, I saw somewhere that you could, if you pressed a pop machine in the right order, the buttons, you could get into like a maintenance mode. And if you got into maintenance mode, you could set the pop to zero, and then you could get whatever you wanted for free. Now, I'm curious, and so I was not going to steal pop. Don't get me wrong, I wasn't going to steal anything, but I was curious if I could do that, right? But like, that's kind of how we treat God sometimes in prayer, is this idea of like, if I push the right buttons in the right order, I'm going to get what I want. And that's not the way we should think of prayer. We should be thinking of prayer more in a sense of like, that, you know, we can get closer to God through prayer. You know, Jesus loved us so much, died for us, rose again, and is interceding for us now so that we can, like, get the things we want. Like, that's not what prayer is for. That's not what God is for. So then we're going to examine kind of our relationship with God. And I always kind of used to think of, like, did God create us because he was lonely? I used to kind of feel that, right? Like, God was almost lucky if I prayed. Like, you know, God was by himself, it felt like to me, and, like, God was almost lucky if I prayed. But that's not necessarily the case. In John 17:5, which is on the projector that's hiding, I guess, says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." And so, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they had a glorious relationship. The Bible says they had a glorious relationship before anything else existed. They did not need us to, like, pray to them, and they were not lucky to have us pray, right? That's not how that works. And I think it's very important. So if you want to turn to Matthew 6, we're just going to start in verse 5. I may unplug and plug this back in just to see if it does anything. Oh, wait, there we are. Even though I unplugged it, hopefully I didn't ruin it. By the way, our guys in the sound booth and back there on the projector and stuff, those guys do great work. Tell them that sometimes, even if they're not messing up. Okay, well, at least I'm seeing me back there, okay. So Matthew 6, 5 through 13 says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." We're going to keep going here. It says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So we're going to dig into the Lord's Prayer here a little bit at the start of the start of the Lord's Prayer, because I think it's really important. I don't think we're going to get super far into it, but we're going to see it kind of as a model, right? And here's the thing. To not call God our Father, there's a lot to that. So calling him our Father is acknowledging our reliance on him, his superiority to us, and the beautiful relationship we have with him. But if we do not call him our Father, that's kind of like us saying, "But I want to do it my way." And that's one of the key things in prayer, I think, is when we take over, when we want to have the authority in our lives, when we say, "God, I want this, and I don't care what you want for me. This is what I know is right." That is the attitude of prayer that will not get us anywhere. We are not getting closer to God, and that is not going to do a lot for us. That shows that we're not really understanding what prayer is about. But there's a lot more to this phrase, "Our Father," especially when we look into the original language. So we're going to look at it a little bit, and I know this word has sometimes been used a lot in some talks and stuff, but it's interesting that in the Bible, it actually says, "Abba, Father." It doesn't say Father or whatever, but it says "Abba, Father," which "Abba" is kind of translated as Father typically. And, you know, the interesting thing is that "Abba" is an Aramaic word, which is don't lose me here, right? But Aramaic is a lot of the language that Jesus would have spoken, right? But then there's also Greek. And so, interestingly enough, is that in the Greek New Testament, they kept "Abba" and "Father." Like, it's "Abba, Father." That's what the Bible actually says. "Abba" is kind of an intimate way of saying "father" or "dad." You wouldn't necessarily say it if you weren't, like, close to your dad, right? And that's a big part of, you know, for us, you know, like, when we're talking to God, is acknowledging we're close to him. That's what Jesus was saying, is he is very close to him. But there's a lot more to it as well, because Abba also means something like, I will obey you. So it's like a close, intimate relationship where we say, Father, I will obey you. That's how our prayers should start off, is we should be saying, Father, I will obey you. I'm close to you, and I want to listen and be with you and do what you want for me to do. And the interesting thing is Jesus also used Abba, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is like sweating blood. Like, I was nervous coming up here. I was not sweating blood, right? But like, Jesus is literally sweating blood. He's like nervous. It's like he knows what's going to happen. And he says, Abba, Father, I'm close to you. I like to be with you. I will obey you. That's how our prayers should start off, with that attitude. It doesn't have to be with this word or whatever it is, but it's very deep. And interestingly enough, is the Greek churches, because a lot of the world was speaking Greek at the time, the Greek churches, there is something about the word Abba that they continued using it. That's an Aramaic word that they continued using it in their own language. Is it up here or no? Okay. Thanks. So they continued using that word, even though it was an Aramaic word. And so I think of it kind of like a lot of people here speak Dutch, right? And there's times when you're talking different languages, there's times when there's a word that it means something kind of like this, right? But there's no good direct translation for it, right? And you can kind of try to describe it in like a paragraph, but like you can only go so deep, right? And that's kind of part of the thing with Abba, is the church saw it as so important and so good that they were like, we need to continue to say Abba. Okay, so I'm going to be this here. Then we get to hallowed be your name. And this is an important part of prayer too, I think, when we hallow his name. Now, we don't say hallowed. If any of you have said the word hallowed in normal everyday conversation, I think I'd be kind of impressed. That's good. My father-in-law likes older English words and whatever, and I don't even think he would, right? Like, it's one of those things. People don't say hallowed. And it might be for the best, because it's holy, right? It's like keeping his name in reverence, like considered holy. And this, oddly enough, this doesn't seem like something we often do in prayer. Just like, God, you are so holy and so amazing, I don't feel like I can get close to you. And in Isaiah, and I don't know if my button here is working, so we'll keep going. But in Isaiah 6:3, says, they called out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. His majestic splendor fills the entire earth. And there is an emphasis on, like, holy, because they're saying it three times. My daughter, when she really wants something in a store, she says she really, really, really wants it, right? And their idea is like, but it's not just, I don't want it just a little bit. I really, really, really want it. And that's kind of what this is about. But here's the thing. I have a question. Let's see if I can do it. Oh, there we go. I think I got it. So do you ever during prayer say this to God? Or that it, like to say that God is holy or his name is holy? And I don't know that I've often heard people praying that specifically when we're thinking of prayer as the way we think of it typically. But this is part of, we're going to take a slight pivot away from kind of going through the Lord's Prayer here. But I think this is a very important part of prayer that we sometimes forget about. And this is part of why I love the praise and worship team is, so oddly enough, I think that you guys sang this song, right? Like this is, it's kind of funny, but I thought this was like, when we're singing, it should be like prayer. So we're going to look at it. Just a couple of songs, just briefly, a couple of things I pulled out, because I want you guys to think of them as prayer. I know when we're singing, we typically don't close our eyes, right? But like, it is prayer, and it should be considered prayer. So like, thinking of hallowing God's name or blessing his name, it says, blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. It says, when the darkness closes in, oh, it's not going. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Then here, God, give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good. He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. If you want to just go to the next slide. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever. And like songs like this, this is us praising God. This is us this is praying together. And we should think of it that way. You know, like I said, we have a great praise and worship teams here. And when we're singing like this, we should be thinking of that. This song in particular has meant a lot to me recently, and this is part of the attitude of prayer that I'm trying to get at here is, with this heart open wide, from the depths, from the heights, I will bring a sacrifice. With these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry, I will bring a sacrifice. I will bring a sacrifice. I lay me down, I'm not my own, I belong to you alone. Lay me down, and so on, right? And this is letting go of my pride, giving up all my rights, take this life and let it shine. These are things that we should be thinking of as prayer. We are praying these things together when we're singing these songs. These are songs we do sing at church. And we should be thinking of them as prayer when we sing them. But if you remember the first several verses we read, it talked about that we shouldn't pray in public, or that's how we often think of it, right? So if this is praying in public, aren't we all not listening to the Bible? So what does Matthew actually say that the hypocrites were doing? So if you want to go to the next slide, it's Matthew 6:5-8. He says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. And this is the key. This is what they're doing, that they may be seen by others. That's the thing we don't want to be doing. We don't want to be praying so that other people notice us. And that was a struggle for me growing up. The church I grew up in, it was kind of a thing where you kind of learn to use King James words. I remember once being really impressed by a visiting pastor quoting, I think it was the couple of verses at the end of Jude, at the end of his prayer. It's like, turn the prayer into a long prayer. He might have been very genuine about it, but I took it as, oh man, I should memorize those verses. That would be impressive prayer if I could pray that and everybody would be really impressed by me. Wow. You know, that's not good. That's exactly what this is telling us not to do. Public prayer can be a very good thing. It's a thing we actually need. And that's kind of what we want to pivot into here. Okay. So the thing is, a baby learns to speak by watching and listening to people who already can speak. Like, my daughter is 9 months now, and it's so funny when you talk to her, she like watches your mouth, like just eyes on your mouth, and she kind of, you know, she's trying to do the same sounds. That's what public prayer, like when we're praying in a, let's say, a small group or a prayer group or something like that especially, this is a very good time for people that might not always know what words to say or how to pray. It's a very good way to you know, because Christians who have been through a lot can put a lot of words to what you're feeling, to the emotions you have, to like, you know, what you feel like you need to tell God, how to repent, how to, you know, praise God, your desires. Sharing these things with God is a very important thing. And when we pray together with other people, it's a very big thing. And we can learn a lot about that. But it's also a thing of, so, like, let's say, so I know Jimmy over here pretty well, right? So I like to hang out with him and whatever. But, like, I know him in the context of small group. But let's say I get to talk with Jimmy and I'm talking with him, like, kind of like we would normally talk. But then let's say somebody who knows him from work comes into the conversation. Now, all of a sudden, I get to see a different part of Jimmy because he's talking to somebody that in a context that I didn't actually know him. And that helps me to get to know him better. And that's also part of the way of when we pray in public together, it's a really cool way of getting to know God better because we can't know all of God. But when we see other people's relationship working through them in prayer, it's a very important and very cool part of prayer that actually does a lot for us in understanding and getting to know God better. It gives us a different angle of God that we have not understood in the past. And when you think of it in that way, it can teach you a lot just to get to know God better. And also, it's interesting, before man's relationship was threatened by sin, it was threatened by isolation. We were not meant to commune with our Creator alone. So God wanted us to be together with, you know, pray together. And even in the Lord's Prayer, you notice how he starts off with our Father? He doesn't say, pray my Father. He says, our Father. When we're praying together as a small group or a church or whatever it is, our Father. He's all of our Father. We should be praying together and getting to know him better. So there is definitely some aspects of, though, of where we should be praying in private as well, right? And so with that in mind, this is, like I said, we're kind of moving away a little bit from the Lord's Prayer, but studying for this sermon and things, I did it partly because, honestly, I'm not very good at praying. Like, it was not a strong suit of mine at all, and I was trying to get to pray better, and I thought, it's something I think we could all work on. But there was definitely something that I learned while reading some things about that has helped me a lot, and that's meditating on Scripture. If you want to go to the next one there, Austin. So this is Martin Luther's method for meditating on Scripture, and this has been really good for me to do it this way. And I'll kind of explain why then. But so when you are having devotional time, a very good way of praying is reading over the verse, these several verses, chapter, whatever, right? And then you say, okay, what instruction can I get out of these verses? Like, how can I, what is God trying to teach me in these verses? And you pray about that. You say, God, help me to live up to that instruction. Thanksgiving. What can I thank God for in this passage? How can I, what is here that God has given me that I'm like, wow, I need to thank God for this? Confession. What sin is pointed out in these verses that I can confess? And I feel like that's one of the keys also in praying that I feel like I should do better, or that I should do better at, but also like that I would have liked to go into more as confession, because I think that's a big part of praying actually. But also, what can I give over to God? Now, I tried to give over the technology issues to God and hope, you know, for this morning. And he did give me some peace of mind, but even if it didn't all work. But then prayer. What can I ask God about? What can I praise God for? How can I draw closer to God with these verses? And I'd love for everybody here to try this. This has been a really big thing for me, is like, when you read those verses, and it does not have to be many verses, especially if you haven't read them before, you don't understand them well, you read over these verses, some verses, and you ask yourself these things, instruction, thanksgiving, confession, and prayer about those verses. And really, it's really cool how this centers your prayer life, because so often we tend to get off into left field on, oh, but I needed to do this thing, right? But all of a sudden we're like, oh wait, I need to get back to praying, right? We get distracted. That's how our brain works. And often I'm like, oh yeah, I prayed, I read this, and this instruction was good, but I wanted to ask, you know, thank God for this. And it gets you back into it. But it also doesn't let you get off the beaten path too far on like something like just praying for yourself. Just, you know, like we talked about earlier, just, you know, praying for yourself or what I want or what I need and what I'm thinking is best for me. If we follow this, often it just keeps us focused on the Bible. And that's really, it allows God to speak to us too, because we can hear from God at times just separately, but we can also read the Bible. And when we read the Bible, that's God speaking to us. And when we do this, often it allows us to take in more of what God is trying to say to us, or at least it did for me. These are some really good things, but last thought here is, how do we close our prayers? Why do we say in Jesus' name? Right? Is it just another conversation finisher? Like, I had to think, my grandpa, who's like one of my heroes, if you had talked to him on the phone, He'd just like, he'd be talking or whatever. And then when he was done talking, he'd say, bye. And if you were not done yet, if he got to bye, it was done. He was hanging up already, right? It was a conversation finisher. We have a lot of those, right? A lot of these, we're kind of, okay, yep, sounds good. And that's done now, right? Is when we say in Jesus' name, just our way of over and out, God, right? And I think it's really important that we look into this a little bit deeper. John 14:13-14 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." If we ask anything in my name, I will do it. So the question is this the same? Does this mean we can just get whatever we want? Yep, I'm just going to pray, and whatever God says, whatever I ask God, if it's in Jesus' name, it's going to happen. I mean, that's like pushing the pop buttons in the right order to get your free pop, right? You just figured out the code, and you just say in Jesus' name. We talked about earlier, like the Timothy Keller quote, we know God is there, but we tend to see him as a means to get things to make us happy. For most of us, he has not become our happiness. We therefore pray to procure things, not to know him better. And that's part of the thing. So it's not that. But also, if you think of, if you've ever met somebody kind of famous, right? Like, really famous. You get to know them or whatever. You talk to them a little bit. There's a whole bunch of people that want to talk to them, right? And you kind of, most of the time, are just another person that they're autographing something for or whatever, right? But let's say you start talking to them and you say, oh, I think I knew your best friend growing up. All of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, this is really different. And you say their name and you're like, I knew Bob or whatever growing up. And he's like, oh, no way. And all of a sudden, you can talk to that person as just another person, right? And that's part of it. But the other part of it is when we pray or ask something in Jesus' name, it's acknowledging his intercession and submitting to his will in prayer. And that's a big deal. Kind of like we were talking about with our Father. But like when we say something in Jesus' name, we're saying, Jesus, take over, right? We're saying, this is, and part of the thing is this is actually part of why we can pray things that are kind of crazy. Right? Like Jesus brought back people from the dead with prayer. Like we can ask for things that are really crazy. You know why? Because Jesus is interceding for us. And God wants the best for us. So when we pray, and we're praying in Jesus' name, we can ask for crazy stuff. We can ask for to glorify God in great ways. We can. Because that's what God wants. Right? But it's not just about what we want. We shouldn't make it about what we want. But when we're praying in Jesus' name, we can ask crazy things and he can come back to us and let us know whether he's answering that or not. It's not by our own merits. We can't approach God's throne. That's the other part of this is, like I was saying kind of with the celebrity, is like we can approach God's throne and ask him things. But we can only do that in Jesus' name. We can't do it on our own. I mean, Moses in the Old Testament was wanted to see God, and God's like, well, if I cover you and you only see my back, you should be able to live, right? And then even after that, Moses comes down and everybody's like, man, this guy is so bright, just cover your face, right? But we can approach God's throne. Typically not like actually seeing him physically, but we can get close to his throne because we're praying in Jesus' name. Jesus had a very intimate relationship with God, and we can tap into that. We're adopted sons of him. And the last slide here, some closing challenges that I want to leave with you. Prayer isn't a destination, it's the path. Prayer isn't the living water that refreshes a parched soul, it's the straw. And that's part of the thing I think we sometimes forget, like we were talking about earlier. The prayer we have, like when we're praying and we feel like we're struggling sometimes, it's not about us and what we're doing, it's about that we're getting God, we're getting closer to God. And when we focus more on that and not as much on the straw, all of a sudden we can get a lot more of God. Also, prayer does not change God, it changes me, is a quote from C.S. Lewis that I like. I think it's a little, It's an interesting quote for sure. And then Philippians 4 there says, do not be anxious about anything, like the technology issues this morning. Don't be anxious about those. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I want us to do that. Hopefully you can do that. Hopefully we can all do that. Let's get closer to God. Let's talk to God. Let's take time to be with God. We can do that. It's something I know different people have struggled with. I've struggled with it a lot. And even if you hit a spiritual high and prayer life is great for, let's say something happened with what you heard this morning, and it's great for months, you're again going to hit a spot where it doesn't feel as good. It does, you know, but focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus and what he's done for us. Focus on who and what he's done for us. So we're going to close in prayer. I feel like we talked about prayer, and I'm not that good at prayer, so I feel like I almost wanted to like write something down, or like I can't mess this one up, right? But and this is part of the important thing with prayer is the only wrong way to pray is to not pray. That's the only real way to pray really wrong. If we're praying to God, praying to Jesus, the only real way to pray wrong is to not pray. So we're going to take a quick minute to pray here in closing. Dear God, to our amazing Father in heaven, we love you and we are amazed at who you are and what you've done for us. Thank you for everyone here, God. Be with us and guide us. Build us up to give you more glory. Help us as we go from here. Help us to pray more, to stay focused on you. Help us to meditate on your word. Help us to love and honor you. Help us to build our relationship with you and to get closer to you. Thank you for everything you've done for us and being with us. In Jesus' name, amen.